When I come to Mass, and this happens to me too, even though I'm up here celebrating, I'm saying the Mass, I'm saying all the words. Very often, because I'm thinking, okay, I'm thinking about my sermon that's coming up, or I'm watching and thinking, okay, well, what's going on here, and how's the time running, and are people doing what they're supposed to do, and is things flowing the right way? Sometimes I can be so distracted that I can come to the end of Mass and say, you know what? I didn't really pray. I was not really present. Now, Jesus was truly present, but I wasn't really present. And all of you have to acknowledge that there are times that you come to Mass and you leave and you think, okay, I don't know where I was, but I wasn't there, all right? I may have been physically there, right? I mean, that's all of our experience. This is why I think so many kids complain. They say, the Mass is boring. The Mass isn't boring, but if you don't know how to be present to what's going on in it, then yes, it may very well seem boring, all right? So we have to learn how to be present to the presence. To be present to the presence. He is present here. Am I? So, that's laying the foundations for the sacraments. Next week again, what we're going to do is we will go into chapters 15 and 16, I think it is. We're going to do baptism and confirmation. But before that, what I want to do now is to look at The Second Vatican Council, in this document on liturgy, called for a renewal of all of the sacraments and of all of the liturgy of the Church. So we want to look at each and every one of those. And so over the next 15 years or so, there were different things that were coming out. The first that they did was the Mass. All right, was changing the Mass from Latin into English, et cetera, and all of those changes. One of the things that the Second Vatican Council called for was a renewal of the catechumens. All right, the catechumenate, what we call today the rite of Christian initiation of adults. It was a process through which adults entered into the Church. In the early Church, the majority of people coming into the Church were not infants. They were not infants. They were adults. Because the Church was dealing with primarily a Gentile and Jewish world, and all of those who are becoming Christian are coming from one of those worlds, right? And so they were bringing adults. There was adults who were going through this conversion process and making the decision to be Christian. And so the Church established a process that people would have to go through. And it was a long process. It was 3 years. A 3-year process. Because they wanted to make sure that people understood what it was that they were committing themselves to. Because they were saying, this is the most important decision you will ever make in your life. And we're going to make it long, and we're going to make it somewhat difficult, so that you decide, is this really what I want to do or not? Is this really what I want to do with my life or not? Do I really want to be a follower of Jesus Christ or not? Jesus talks about this in the Gospels, where he's warning his listeners, you know, because what he's seeing is people are coming, they're following him for a while, and then they kind of, okay, well, I'm kind of tired of that, I need something else, and so then they wander off, right? He talks about the man who decides to build a tower, but then halfway through realizes he doesn't have enough money to complete it, and he says everybody will laugh at them, what a fool they are. Well, he's saying, I don't want you being like that, all right? You need to know, are you going to be able to build this tower? Are you serious about following through on this or not? Here's another image of a king who has 10,000 troops who is going up against another king who has 40 or 50,000 troops. And you have to evaluate, am I ready to do this? And so they said, you have to go through 3 years. 3 years of being a part of this community, of praying with us, of learning about what we are about, of being part of the life of this community, before you make the decision that you are going to do this. Now, that had dropped out as we had moved into a society where most adults in this country, if you go back 40 or 50 years ago, were baptized something, all right? They may have been baptized Catholics, they may have been baptized Baptists, they may have been Methodists, they may have been Lutherans, but they were something. They were something. That's no longer true. That's no longer true. There is a huge number of people out there who are unchurched. I've seen a change in the time that I've been a priest in the RCIA of people who are coming in. It used to be that people who came in at least had some basic familiarity. You know, they knew the Our Father. They knew the Bible stories to some extent. All right, but now what we're finding is that how many people are coming to us with nothing. All right, with nothing. And so we have to go back, and that there's a whole laying of that foundation in a way that we didn't have to do even 20, 25 years ago. So the church called for a renewal of the rite of Christian initiation of adults, of the catechumenate. And I just want to touch on this because if we're going to understand, we talk about baptism next week. Most of us receive baptism as children. And we have a tendency to think of baptism as a child's sacrament. Most of us received confirmation either as a little bit of an older child or even as an adolescent. And we tend to think of confirmation as a child or adolescent sacrament. These are adult sacraments. These are adult sacraments that we extend to children, and then we hope that they will grow into as they get older, right? But in order to really understand what it means to be baptized, we have to understand what it means for an adult to make the decision to follow Jesus Christ. Now, when they came up with this, and this is the handout that I put back there, and if you don't have it, that's okay. You just take it with you if you want to when you leave. This is a handout that I've used in other presentations when I'm talking about the RCIA. There are certain steps or periods. There are, in fact, four periods that make up the RCIA. And actually, it can last any number of years. Most of us run them about 9 months to a year. I don't know anybody who is doing a three-year catechumenate today. All right. I don't know too many of us that would have the nerve to tell somebody who said, I want to be Catholic, oh, well, okay, that's wonderful. It's going to take you 3 years. All right. I wonder is that because we've lost some of the fervor of our own community, and so maybe we would do better if we did. One of the sad realities is that about within 2 years after being received in the church at the Easter Vigil, half of those people are lost. They drift away. All right, we do a great job with them for 9 months or a year, and then they just kind of get lost and they just kind of disappear. They're not ready. They're not ready oftentimes. The first period is a period of evangelization and pre-catechumenate. This is your whole life up to the time that you begin to say, I think I want to be Catholic, or I want to learn more about what it means to be Catholic. All right, it's about evangelization. Evangelization is where we begin to hear the good news of Jesus Christ, that Jesus died for me in order to save me from and to unite me with God. That Jesus came to die for me and to save me. That's the primary message of evangelization. And is where I am coming to know, to hear about this Jesus, and that I need salvation, and to say, okay, well, maybe. I think of this in terms of a relationship. As we go through these periods, I want you to think about it this way. A man and a woman who meet one another. And essentially, the period of evangelization is when we're kind of dating, all right? We're kind of checking each other out, all right? Getting to know one another, okay? We're not sure if this is where we're going to go. We're not sure if this is what we're going to do with our life or not. But we're just kind of, in an initial dating relationship. And at the end of that, we would come to a point where it's okay, it's time to make some kind of a decision, all right? Is this going to go somewhere or is it not? And so we may decide, okay, we want to go steady, all right? Maybe we've been dating a few people and we've started meeting each other. But yeah, let's start going steady, all right? Let's make some kind of a commitment to one another that we're going to be exclusive with one another. That's when we come to the rite of acceptance of the order of catechumens. All right. When somebody says, okay, let's go steady. I want to go steady with the church. Yes, I think this is, I'm going to explore this more. I'm not committed to this. I'm not saying I'm going to do this the rest of my life, but this is somewhere I want to really check this out. And so they get involved in the catechumenate itself, the RCIA. And there is a rite of acceptance, a rite, a ritual, where they come here to the church. And this is part of the liturgy of the church, where they come here at Mass, and they stand before the community, and they say, we'd like to go steady. And we say, us too. We want to go steady with you too. And so we kind of enter into that relationship. We enter into that relationship. Then we enter into the period of the catechumenate. This is where those who are going through the process really begin to learn about the church. And actually, we're using the same book that you're using in this group. We're using the American Catechism for Adults in our RCIA here. And so we go through. We meet every week and we talk about the various teachings of the church, about the doctrines and the moral teaching the church and the sacraments and prayer, etc. And we go through that, and then we come to the next, to where, okay, we've gone steady for a while, and now we've got to decide, are we going to go forward or not? All right? Now, in a dating relationship at that point, what do? You get engaged. We get engaged. And that's what we do. That's just at the beginning of Lent, on the first Sunday of Lent, there is a ceremony called the Rite of Election. The Rite of Election. And this is where the catechumens throughout the diocese will go to the cathedral, and their Bishop Foyce will, they will say, we definitely want to do this. I want to be received into the church at Easter time. I want to receive the sacraments of the anointing, the sacraments of initiation. And the church says, we think so too. And so we get engaged. Still not done, all right? Still not done. You can back it out at any moment. And then we move into the period of purification and enlightenment. And this is Lent. And this is the origin of Lent. Lent was started for the catechumens. It was that last 40 days before the celebration of the sacraments, essentially the catechesis is over. And now it is time to get ourselves spiritually ready through prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. And getting involved spiritually so that when we come to Easter Vigil, that their hearts, their souls are spiritually open and ready for their spiritual marriage. To get married. Because it's not even just that they are, remember, the church is the body of Christ. So as they start going steady with the church, they're just going steady with Christ, right? When they get engaged, right, to the church, they're getting engaged to Jesus Christ. And when they get married through the sacraments of initiation to the church, they're getting married to Christ because we are his body, okay? And so that's what happens at the Easter Vigil. That's the next ceremony, set of ceremonies. This would be the marriage ceremony and the celebration of the sacraments of initiation and baptism, confirmation, and Eucharist. After that is a period called the period of post-baptismal catechesis or mystagogy. Officially, in most parishes, this will be a matter of just a few weeks following the Easter celebration. It may be for like 3 weeks or so, or sometimes all the way through the season of the Easter season. But in reality, it's the rest of your lives. All right. Any of you who are familiar with the Cursio? Anybody here have gone through Cursio? It's the fourth day. All right. In the mystagogia, this period is the fourth day. It's the rest of your life where you are now. It's like on your wedding day. All right. The wedding day again. A wedding day is not the end. That's the beginning, right? So that's what happens then. It's now you begin your wedded life. Now you begin your life of being a Catholic, of being a Christian, of being in union with Jesus Christ. And you begin to learn on a day-to-day basis how to walk and live out this life that we are called to. So this next week, when we get into chapters 15 and 16, we start talking about the sacraments of initiation, of baptism, and confirmation. Again, you got to think of it in terms of what is it that a person is preparing themselves for as an adult. As you read the chapters, think in terms of those sacraments as essentially adult sacraments that we, for very good reasons, extend to children. All right? I'm not saying we shouldn't be giving these to kids. We should be giving these to kids. This is the tradition of the church all the way back from the beginning. All right? And so we'll be talking about that next week. So we've got a little bit of time. I just want to throw this open for some questions at this point. Everything's completely clear. It always bothers me if I teach for an hour. It's not even that it should be so clear that you don't have questions about what I'm saying, but I would hope that I stir up questions in your mind over things that I haven't said that start you thinking about something else. Yeah.
I don't know if you would rather talk about this when you talk about the section of confirmation, but just in your last sentence when you talked about they should be given to children. I just don't understand why confirmation. Like, I received confirmation in the fourth grade. I'm sure I am not a child. And I taught school, and I don't really see that they really have a clue in eighth grade what confirmation really is.
Okay.
So why would you do it then and not at maybe at the high school graduation? And if that would be a clue, what do you want?
Okay. Why do we confirm children or adolescents. Why don't we wait until they're older, perhaps at high school, graduation. Actually, here, Tim, we do it on a sophomore level. We're the only parish in diocese that does that. And perhaps people suggested that it should be something that people have to decide as an adult that they're going to do. We will get into this next week. But to let you know that originally, baptism and confirmation in the early church were always celebrated together. And they were in some ways considered almost two sides of the same sacrament. In fact, part of the discernment process the church had to go through was to determine, are they two sacraments or are they just two actions that are part of one? All right? There's the one which is the pouring of the water and then the anointing with the oil. Are they really one sacrament or are they two? It was as when the church began, and again, it's for adults, this never became a question. They were just doing actions. They hadn't even sat down and said, okay, well, how many sacraments do we believe in? That's going to take a while before the church even begins to ask that question. They're just doing what Jesus told them to do. And it's only when they begin receiving a lot of infants into the church that they begin to say, well, wait a minute, we're baptizing these infants. Should we be confirming them at the same time? Now, the Eastern Church said yes. And so if you were baptized in an Eastern Orthodox Church, were any of you baptized in an Eastern Orthodox Church? Nobody here? Okay. If you were baptized as an infant in an Eastern Orthodox Church, you were also confirmed at that time, and you made your first communion. They take a little bit of the Eucharist and they put it into the mouth of the baby. So the baby, they're holding together these three sacraments of initiation. All right? That was their understanding, was that these three need to be held together. And so they held them together. The Latin Church, the Western Church, all right, said, pastorally, we think we need to split them apart, all right? And so we're going to baptize these babies, but we're not going to give First Communion until later, all right? And up until the early 1900s, under Pope Pius XII, that was usually like 13, 14, 15, all right? And I think maybe you were confirmed roughly at the same time, all right? Pope Pius X encouraged First Communion earlier, all right, and that was when he established, what, 7 years old, all right, that's no younger than seven, but essentially at 7 years old, a child is old enough to understand that there is something different. They're not going to understand theologically what the difference is, but that there is something different, that this is not ordinary bread, all right, they can grasp that, and that they should be able to receive that then. When I received, I was third or fourth grade, confirmation, all right? Most today receive it in eighth grade. We do it at sophomore level. And this has been debated since the Second Vatican Council. Should we move it into an adult or later adolescence and later high school? Or should we go with the Eastern Church and move it back to the to infancy? Should we begin giving it there? So it's been a debate, but it's a pastoral call. It's a pastoral decision. And at this point, since the beginning, really, the Western Church, the Latin Church that we are a part of, has said, no, we're going to separate them. We're going to separate them, and we're going to do them in this way. They are not essentially what we have turned them into, which is a rite of passage. We've kind of created them as a rite of passage for adolescents. All right, kind of we tell them they are moving from childhood into adulthood. That really is not the theology of confirmation. That really is not what the church believes about that. But it is how we have handled it. All right, and so we'll get into this more next week when we get into the sacrament of confirmation, and maybe the chapter, I can't remember, the chapter may answer some of what you're asking there, but it's how we understand what is the meaning of the sacrament and what is the relationship of the three sacraments of initiation. All right, that's an important question there too. That's why the Eastern Church said no, we want to do them together. It's important that these three sacraments be done together, understood and held together, because they are interrelated, all right, in terms of making somebody fully a member of the church. Until I've received all three, I'm not fully a member of the church. I'm not fully initiated. Okay? Any other?
I went through the Baltimore Catechism.
Uh-huh.
And to me, a lot of it was memorization.
Exactly.
And so I was impressed with the real presence somewhere along the line. I picked that up very definitely.
Right.
Then this present generation, no, I shouldn't say that, my niece, She goes to communion, but I don't really think she believes in the real presence.
How old is she?
She's in her 40s.
Oh, so, okay, so it's adults, yeah.
Between the Baltimore Catechism and what probably they're teaching now.
Okay.
There was something missing.
Okay, she said when she went through, she learned the Baltimore Catechism, which is about memorization, and you're right, and that is maybe the strength and the weakness, both, of the Baltimore Catechism, was that there was too much focus on just simply memorization. But that she's talking about her niece, who is in her 40s, who you, having grown up with the Baltimore Catechism, have a strong belief in the real presence of Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament, and your niece, who is 40, who learned in a different generation, goes to communion, but does not seem to believe in the real presence. Okay, and I can't say, you know, what her experience was, because it's not that we haven't taught that, the real presence. There maybe has not been as much focus as there was. And I know, because I know many 40-year-olds who strongly believe in the real presence of the Blessed Sacrament, all right? The real presence of Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament. I know people who are much younger than that who believe very much in the real presence of Christ in the Blessed Sacrament. So a lot of, you know, there's a lot of factors in whether or not somebody comes to explicit faith in what the church teaches, right? And so it may be that the inadequacy of the catechesis that she received, but it may also be the inadequacy of her own personal, the depth of her own personal reflection and study, and in that, right? It may be because she has been misled by other people. She may have gotten great catechesis, but she may have been influenced by people to just kind of see these ceremonies, these sacraments. Is just ceremonies, and I think a lot of Catholics do have that. All right, we've kind of gotten that because we live in essentially a Protestant society, and Cardinal George of Chicago famously said that many, many Catholics are Catholic by denomination and Protestant by theology. All right, because they have more absorbed the understanding of prayer, of Christ, of the scriptures from society more so than they have from the teachings of the church. All right, and so even though they belong to the church, they actually think like Protestants. That may be your niece, all right, through no fault of her own, just that may be the influence, and so she's thinking the way that other Christians in our culture think about these, about their ceremonies, about their rituals, about their worship. All right. So there's any number of things that might have affected that. But yes, we do need to do a much better job of catechesis. And I think we are doing a better job than we did for a long time. All right. We can bemoan, you know, what a terrible job was done. And you know, I hear people all the time who say, well, you know, I just didn't really get a lot of education on my faith as I was growing up. And I say, okay, what are you doing about that? Right? Don't just be sitting around blaming and playing victim. I hate victims. All right? I just really hate that victim talk. I don't hate victims. I hate victim talk. You know, where people, you know, it's like, well, nobody gave me this. Okay, well, you were a kid then. You're an adult now. Come to my class, all right? Pick up a book, a catechism, and start reading it. What are you doing now to correct what you acknowledge you didn't get as a child, all right? So it's like, you know, that blaming sister 20 years ago just doesn't, okay, you're right. What are you going to do about it now? So, okay? All right, so we're out of time. Thank you. Next week, we are going to do chapters 15 and 16 on baptism and confirmation. But please be thinking in terms of what you would like to see us do for those 5 weeks during Lent. Please stand, we'll pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, deliver us from evil. Amen. Thank you all.